each one in Jesus' name this morning. Truly, Jesus is our rock in a weary land. We'd like to talk about that this morning. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. It's a number of passages we'd like to turn to think about this idea of God being our rock. God is our rock. The psalmist was familiar with caves in his day, hiding from the enemy. And maybe we don't think about that so much today. I don't know how many of you had to hide in a cave this past week to get away from trouble or from danger, but probably not many of us, maybe none of us. Old Testament times, caves, rocks for hiding were a stronghold, a place of security, a place of advantage. If you could have a cave to hide out in, you had an advantage against the enemy. David hid from Saul in a number of different caves, and there was protection there. One of the things that I thought about when I thought about caves of like David used, they were there for many years, probably from generation to generation, they could use those same caves for the same thing, for protection. And as David and other psalm writers reflect on God and God's provision for man, they various times talk about God being a rock. I thought about this in relation to the Sunday school class and building the church, building on the rock. That's the idea of a foundation, but this particular aspect of God being our rock is more like God being our protection, a place to hide, a shelter, a strong place to get away from the things that would take us away. Turn with me to Psalm 18, first of all. And Psalm 18, I'd like to read verse 31. I'd like to look at God and what the Psalms tell us about God being this rock. Psalm 18, verse 31. Well, let's start with verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? This first point is that God is not to be compared with other gods. He is above all gods. This verse 31 says, who is God save the Lord? Who is capital God save our Lord? There's only one God. And who is a rock save our guide? God. There is no other God that can provide shelter, can provide a rock for us like God can. And so he is a God not to be compared with any others. If we keep on reading to, verse 30. Two, it is God that girdeth me with strength and that maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. In those verses, we have also the concept that God is our strength, and that'll be one of our points a little later. This idea of strength often comes up in verses that talk about God being our rock, God who gives us strength. And so God is not to be compared with any others. There's no God like our God. So this morning when we think about God being our rock, we have something that the rest of the world does not have. Those who will not honor God, those who will not love God, those who will not serve God do not have the place of refuge. They do not have the solid foundation. They do not have the protection, the strength, the blessing that we have in God, the God of the heavens, God of the universe. Psalm 92:15 says, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. There's the idea that God has no unrighteousness in him. You cannot find fault with God. You cannot find any place where God is not doing too good, any place where God is not doing it correctly. There's no unrighteousness, but everything is perfect. Part of this God being not to be compared with other gods is his unchangeableness. His unchangeableness. And we could look at those verses. Throughout the Psalms, the psalmist talks about God being the same year after year, forever. He's a solid God. He's lasting. He's forever. I think about that when I think about a rock. Rocks are something that are hard. Even rocks that are in streams. Streams that carry sand. The water and sand eventually will erode a rock, but it's very, very slow. It's a very slow process. But our God is so strong that he will not be eroded with time. He is stronger than the rocks of nature. He is an unchangeable God. So he's a God not to be compared with others. Now, if we here in Psalm 18, verse 2, if you back up to verse 2, he says, well, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. There's the idea of strength again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He is my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And there in verse 3, one of the last points this morning is that God's worthy to be praised. And we'll see that in some more verses. But verse 3, he says, I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. He is a rock. The second point is that God is a God who defends and delivers. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. A fortress was a place, a building or a tower or a something at a strategic point to be able for the to be able to ward off the enemy. Fortress built at places that it was an advantage for the people who built the fortress to protect themselves. Maybe on a high hill, they could see the enemy at a distance. And the psalmist says that God is my fortress. He, when I hide in God, he puts me at a place of advantage above mine enemies. I don't have to be overtaken. He says, he's my deliverer, my God. And again, this idea of strength comes up in here. He says, he's my buckler, my horn of my salvation, my high tower. These are all warring terms. These are all terms about a nation, an army, being able to go out and fight in victory and not go down in defeat. And the psalmist says, the Lord is this to me. He is the fortification. He is the enabling that I need, the enablement that I need to be able to be victorious. Turn over to Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27, 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And so he says, he will hide me in his pavilion. This is about God defending us and delivering us. In the time of trouble, in the time when it's difficult, in the time when challenges overwhelm us, he will hide us in his pavilion, not in our pavilion, but in his pavilion, in his place of protection. verse 6 has that idea that, again, that he's worthy of worship. Psalm 94, verse 22 is a verse that was at the top of that last song that we sang. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. Psalm 94, verse 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. The Lord is my defense, the rock of my refuge. Verse 23, and he shall bring upon them, the wicked ones, their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. And so the Lord is a defense. He defends and delivers, and he deals with the wicked in his own time. In his own time. Many times we see wickedness seeming to multiply today, seeming to be able to get by. They can do wrong, and it seems like they're not brought to judgment. But let's not be fooled. God will bring judgment upon sin in his time. And so God is a God who defends and delivers. Let's go to Psalm 42, verse 9. Psalm 42 was amazing to me as I thought about, as I looked at this subject of God being a rock in the Psalms. Psalm 42, let's start with verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. This third point is that God is a God who gives strength to us daily. He gives strength to us. Notice the psalmist says, reflects on the fact that the wicked sometimes reproach us and say, so where is your God? What is happening? Things don't seem so well for you. It doesn't look like your God's doing much for you. But he says in verse 11, says, so why am I struggling with depression? Why am I struggling with sadness? Why am I overwhelmed? And he says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. He is our strength. And I believe that when the psalmist turned to God and found his hope and rest in God, then he found strength, the strength of his countenance, and was able to go on. And so God is a God who gives strength to us daily. Turn to Psalm 61. This is actually the verse that got me started on thinking about this. I read this the other day in my devotions. And this Psalm 61, as I understand it, was written by David sitting at the mouth of a cave. Yes, running from Saul, hiding in a cave, writing Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. I would suppose if we were hiding, running from a man who was seeking our life, we would want God to hear our prayer really, really bad. Maybe we would think about it more than we think about it today when we pray and we just thank God for our food and our clothing and those kinds of things. And it can be kind of a casual prayer. David is in trouble. David is hiding. David needs God. And then he says in verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. Imagine David saying to God in this, yes, this overwhelming experience, hiding, running, not sure of his life, whether it would be spared or not. And he says that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I just picture David sitting at the mouth of this cave with rocks, huge rocks on either side of him. And as he's thinking about his experience, his daily experience hiding in that cave, and he's looking at these rocks and he says, you know, God, I need you like one of these big rocks. And when I am overwhelmed and when I am sad and when I am depressed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is stronger, that is more solid, more firm, that is the protection. And if David needed that in his day, we need that in our day as well. Well, we have the idea here of prayers being heard. We'll notice that a little later. We have the idea here of leading. He says, lead me to the rock. And we'll notice that in some more verses. So many of these themes come up. So many of these things about God come up in each of the verses as we talk about God being our rock. So God is a God who gives strength to us daily. And desires to have us trust in him and not be overwhelmed. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. It doesn't matter where we're at. From the end of the earth, in a desert place, in a large city, in the countryside, on a mountaintop, out on the sea, in a ship tossed by waves. From the ends of the earth, God will hear us, and God can lead us to the rock that is higher than himself, and there we'll find strength for us, for our daily experience. All right, let's go back to Psalm 28. This is the thought about God being the God who hears our prayers. Psalm 28, and verse 1 and 2. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. David says, I cry to thee, Lord, don't be silent. Please answer me. I need answers. I need help. Don't be silent. Don't forget me. Don't pass me by, but speak to me, lest I be swallowed up like those that go down into the pit of death, the pit of hell, those that find themselves away from God, lost, and without someone to protect them and guide them. God is a God that hears our prayer. Psalm 31, verse 2. Well, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. You notice that? Prayer, he says that, bow down thine ear to me. Listen to me, God. I have something on my heart I need to talk to you about. And deliver me speedily. Be my, not only my rock, but my strong rock. Something that has power to deliver. Deliver me speedily. And he says that, well, verse 3, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. That is the next point we want to think about. And that is that God is a God who leads us. He was a God who hears our prayers. And number 5, he's a God who leads us. We saw that in various verses before. But here in verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalmist said that I need something to guide me through life. I can't find my way alone. I need a God to lead and guide and bless my journey. And I believe the psalmist realized in his day and the things that he faced, he needed God to take him and guide him. Where should he go next? As Saul chased him, as Saul sought for him, he needed the guidance of God to lead him. And as you look at the story of David, and you look at David was to be the next king, and David did not rise up and get rid of Saul. He could have. He had opportunity to get rid of Saul. But he left God lead the way. He left God take care of the situation. I believe that he had learned to allow God to lead him. And I believe that David struggled accepting the path that God led him on, the path of running from Saul, when David full well knew that he was to be the next king. How can this be, God? Why are you taking me on this detour? God is a God who leads us if we will follow him. Now, he doesn't always lead us through the places that we would like him to lead, but he leads us faithfully. So he is a God who leads. He is a strong rock. Number 6, he is a God who saves from sin. If we go to Psalm 40, is another beautiful passage about the change that comes in our experience when we meet God. Psalm 40. Let's see. Start with verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. There's prayer heard. God hears our prayers. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's salvation. That's lifted out of corruption and sin and iniquity and set our feet on a rock, something stable, established us. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. There's a testimony. This man who's saved from sin has a song, has something to sing about and to share with the world. And many see it and it moves their hearts to say, that's the God that I want to be a part of as well. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and that respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Notice that there in verse 5, the psalmist turns in and he says that, God, I'm amazed at how much you think about us. Your thoughts to us are more than can be numbered. Your interest in us, your desire toward us is tremendous. What he's saying is that God has not forgotten us. God doesn't forget his people. He thinks about us. We are on his mind. Sometimes, though, we think in the middle of our distresses, when we are not fleeing to the rock, to God our rock, sometimes in the middle of distresses, we don't think that God hears. We don't think that God is thinking about us. We wonder, where is God and what is he doing? But here the psalmist says, you know, the thoughts of God toward his people, the thoughts of God toward his created humans, there is a tremendous amount of thoughts. Thoughts of desire to have us set free from sin and be able to commune with God. That's what God wants. He's a God of mercy and forgiveness. He promises to forgive our sins if we confess them. So God is a God who saves from sin. This rock, this God, our rock, saves from sin, delivers us, cleanses us, sets us free, gives us a song, gives us a life, something to live for. That's not the ways of corruption and sin and disappointment and death. Well, let's go to Psalm 95, verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And he goes on to talk about creation is his. The sea, the mountains, the stars, the sky. This God is a God to be worshipped. We saw that in numerous verses before, but God is a God to be worshipped. The psalmist says, come, as we think about this God, we think about God being our rock and what he does for us, a place to hide, a God who leads us, a God who saves from sin, a God who hears our prayer, a God who gives us daily strength, a God who defends and delivers us, a God who's not to be compared with other gods. When you think about that God and you start to see God as being that, then come, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us sing. Let us make a joyful noise to him. Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. Remember to thank him for being this kind of God for us. Don't take him for granted. Don't use him for our own benefit, but bless his holy name. That's what he's looking for from us. As we realize that he is such a precious God, he wants us to worship him, praise him, bless his name, so that that's what he created us for this worship. And so God is a God to be worshiped. Now, I'd like to think just a little bit. We read that verse about David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We looked at God being a rock, and we know that. Probably everything that I've said And as we looked at in the Psalms, we know that this morning. We know that that is who God is. But the question that I'd like us to think about just a little bit is this question: why then do we get overwhelmed? David said, when I'm overwhelmed, then lead me to this rock. Why do you think David found days that he got overwhelmed? One of the ways that we help ourselves to get our focus right and get our focus on God is to think about, so what is it that takes me wrong? What is it that takes me down? Why do I get overwhelmed? Let's think about a couple areas. With this fresh in our minds about God being a rock, leading us, guiding us, defending us, blessing us, giving us strength. So then why do we become overwhelmed? Well, number one, we become overwhelmed when we think things are out of control for us. And possibly David, as he was fleeing from Saul, and David didn't really have that situation in his control. Saul had more control of that than David had. But I ask you the question, so who was ultimately in control? Was it Saul? Was it David? So there's this struggle. David's running and hiding and Saul's chasing him. Who was ultimately in control? It was God. Did God the rock ever lose control in that situation? No. And you come to our experience, things that we face on a day-by-day basis. One of the reasons that we become overwhelmed is because we think things are out of control for us. But really, are they out of control? Who finally have we committed these things to control? Or is it just, we think they're out of control. Is it just that we are not getting what we want to get? We had some kind of idea of how we wanted life to be, and that's not happening. And we think that we don't have the power to change it and bring it back to what we wanted it to be. And so we become overwhelmed because things are out of control for us. Finally, though, let's remember God is our rock and He is ultimately in control. He will have the last say. He is the one who will direct us. Let's just go ahead and trust Him. Let's just go ahead and say, God, I will hide in the covert of Thy wings. I will flee to You, the rock that's higher than I. And instead of being overwhelmed, I will hide there and let You work it out. Do we really think this morning that we could do a better job of controlling our lives than God can do? No, we don't really think so. But somehow in the middle of difficulties, we grasp and we try to control things. And in doing that, we become overwhelmed. And it's maybe we don't stop and think about how foolish it is for us to try to control it all. And we ought to just let go of it and commit it to God, because He will do a better job of controlling it for us. All right, number two, why do we get overwhelmed? Another reason we get overwhelmed is because we fear the future. The future is unknown to us. We don't really know what will come tomorrow. And it was referred to in the opening 4 years ago. We didn't know where we would be today. And I think it's a beautiful journey of God leading and directing. But we don't know where it will go yet, as far as this congregation and worshiping here in the city and driving in or living in the city and all of those questions. We don't really know. It's unknown. And sometimes the future looks scary. When things are not known to us, we tend to be afraid of them. Actually, sometimes it's easier facing a difficulty if we know the difficulty that's going to happen to us and we can prepare our minds. An unknown difficulty is more scary than a known difficulty many times. And you see this sometimes in relation to physical distresses. Someone has something wrong with them. It's actually often more scary when they don't know what's wrong. Once they get a diagnosis, and here's the deal, even if it's difficult to deal with, there's a measure of rest because now I know what's wrong. And doctors can work on it and whatever. And so we fear the future. When things are unknown, it looks scary to us. But really, is it unknown to God? We come back to this rock. Can we flee to the rock God that is higher than us, because that future is not all known. He knows it all. And we should stop fretting about the future and hide under his wings, under the rock of God, our refuge, because he knows it all. The future is not unknown to God, and God is not scared of the future, regardless what is there, regardless how dark the times will be, regardless how stormy, regardless how difficult. God is not scared of the future. He's not trembling about what will come next year and the next year. Number three, another reason that we get overwhelmed is when we feel that life is unfair, or we feel that someone has wronged us and used us. And so somehow we feel like life isn't fair. We've been taken advantage of. This whole concept has its roots in the fact that I think I know what is fair and just. I think I have a proper judgment. And according to my judgment, I don't think this should have happened to me. I don't think this person should have treated me this way. I don't deserve this. This whole point has its foundation in me being the judge of deciding right and wrong. But finally, is God a just God? Will he bring fair judgment? Even though people are selfish, they're out to get ahead, will God take care of selfish people? Will he help selfish people take advantage of humble, godly servants of his? Will God help them to triumph and let his people behind? We know the answer. The answer is no. God will protect us. And sometimes, though, it's God's will to let angry people take advantage of us for a period of time. Sometimes it's his will to teach us a lesson, maybe to teach us to trust in him more. And so we can't say this morning that God, as our rock, will defend us in every situation and nothing bad will happen to us. But we can say that we can trust God because he knows and he's in control. Well, another reason that we get overwhelmed is we feel too busy. We feel overworked, challenged too great. We feel like the duties that come upon us are more than we can handle. We feel like we have a load that we are not able to bear. Sometimes we get ourselves in those problems. Sometimes we must learn to say no. Sometimes God does expect us to use the wisdom that he has given to us to plan and to take care, make decisions about our workload and the commitments that we make. Sometimes we overcommit ourselves. But finally, the question comes to us, is God's grace sufficient? Can he see us through the responsibilities that seem overwhelming? Can he give us grace for what he has called us to do? Well, we know the answer. We know that God's grace is sufficient. Maybe part of the reason that we become overwhelmed in busy times, in times when we feel there's too much, overloaded, and we're bogged down, maybe part of the reason that we become overwhelmed is because in an effort to try to get all this stuff done, we cut out our time with God, and we don't flee to the rock that is higher than us. And so we charge out into a day on our own strength, going our own way, trying to control life, trying to get it done. And God is saying, look, if you just trust in me a little more, if you just worship me, if you take some time with me, I would carry you today. I would give you strength. I would help you to have some calmness as you face what you need to face today. So another reason that we sometimes get overwhelmed is we feel threatened. Our position or our power or our fame or our possessions, our wealth, threatened. Something's going to take it away. And maybe this is closer related to someone taking advantage of us or our life being unfair. But we feel threatened. We feel threatened. Now, this whole thing of being threatened that would cause us to be overwhelmed, this whole thing has its foundation in the fact that I think I deserve certain things. I think I deserve a certain name. I think I deserve a certain status. And that status might be taken away from me. And so we're back to that thought again. Am I really committed to God? Have I submitted to God? Maybe God doesn't want me to have this that I think should be mine. Maybe God feels it would be best for me if I would not have this possession that I've sought after, and he will take it away to teach me something. But sometimes we get overwhelmed when we feel threatened, when we think that something that we've longed for, we're going to lose. Again, it's part of the control subject. Are we submitted to God's plan for us? You know, if we truly submit to that, then life is not so threatening. Life is only threatening when there's things that we want to hang on and ideas that we want to have for ourselves regardless. Life becomes less threatening when we say, well, God, I'm submitted to you, and I'll let you work these things out. It's less threatening. Another reason that sometimes we get overwhelmed is physical afflictions. Physical afflictions are real. Pain and suffering touches our lives sometimes. And those times are difficult because we all have this in our minds that we want to be well and healthy and strong and able to do our things. And that is best for me. I can best do God's will with a healthy body. Is that true? Well, yes, in many ways. But no, sometimes God wants us to glorify him in affliction. Think of the Apostle Paul. God saw best to leave him have a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what that was. I tend to think it was poor eyesight, because he told the Galatians that they cared about him so much that they would have been glad to give him their eyes. I don't know if that's what was the thorn in the flesh, but for a preacher to have poor eyesight is a little challenging. And God saw best to leave Paul with that physical affliction. Paul said, I could do more. I could be a better servant. Remove this thing. But God said, no, just live with it. It'll keep you humble. And my grace will be poured in there. And so it is not true that it is best for us to be healthy and strong. And that is not true. But in our minds, we tend to think that's the way it is. And then when affliction comes, we become overwhelmed because we want it changed. And again, we can't control this. It's beyond our control. And maybe we've tried different things and we can't restore our health. And we go to a doctor, we spend a lot of money, and they have difficulty restoring our health. And we become overwhelmed because this isn't what I want. And maybe God wants us to submit and say, Lord, if you want this for my life, I will hide under the shadow of your wing. I will flee to the rock that is higher. I will trust in you. I'll hide in that cave and say, if this is what you want, this is what I'll accept in my life. If this is allowed by God, if God has allowed this situation, then why should I fret? Why should I become stressed out? Why should I be all worried and uptight? But can I find peace and rest in God's plan for me? In closing, let's think about two encouragements I have for us. Number one, let us learn to flee to God our rock. Let's learn to flee to God our rock. Whatever situation you're facing, those situations vary a lot between us this morning, I'm sure. Whatever tough thing that you face, whatever thing as you think about it this morning, you say, now, if there's one thing that I'd like to just remove from my life, it just bugs me, it just worries me, it scares me, it challenges me, I can't stand it. Whatever that thing is, learn to flee to God our rock. From the ends of the earth, whatever job and vocation and life and health situation, and even there's things that are unknown many times to others around us that we're facing on a personal level. Whatever that is, learn to flee to God our rock. Because he has a strong rock. And it will bring us so much peace and so much happiness. Even in the middle of bad things and dark days, there's happiness that can be had by fleeing to God our rock. And secondly, find rest in the will of God for our lives. Flee to God our rock and find rest in the will of God for our lives. Through submission, through obedience, finding rest. Can I rest? Can you rest this morning in what God has for you? Can I rest and not be overly anxious
overly concerned, overly. Could I live a life that, as David lived in running from Saul and all those difficulties, and find a measure of rest in God, saying, God, not my will, but thine be done. And Lord, help us this morning to understand God our rock and flee to that God and find rest in his protection. Let's kneel for prayer this morning.